Now we're speaking with Deb Rule, and she is an incumbent in the Sandpoint City Council races. Deb, thanks for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, let's start by getting to know you. Can you tell us a bit about yourself, how long you've lived here, how you wound up in Sandpoint, and some of your qualifications?
I will have lived in Sandpoint coming up in April of 2024 for 20 years, so I get to the next decade of that. I ended up in Sandpoint because I was looking for a small town that was embedded in nature, and I'm a skier and a biker, and I also enjoy the lake and hiking mountains and just in general being in the woods. So like many people, you drive over the bridge and you never leave. I did have a couple of acquaintances that lived in Sandpoint and encouraged me to come up here and check it out. As far as experience, I served 2+ years on the Planning Commission, and then I stepped up when and was appointed to City Council when Mayor Logan took over for Mayor Ogilvie, and then I ran unopposed for the first term. And then by my second term, I was very involved in maintaining our watershed and protecting it forever. Also wanted to develop the Watershed Recreation Master Plan, which we finally did this past summer. And then I am now running again. So that's a total of 10 years on council plus 2 years on Planning Commission. My background in education, I'm a physical therapist. I received my master's degree from Emory University in 1995. And I think that's probably most of the experience. I have 2 sons. One just went off to Boise State in the honors program, and I just returned from Parents Weekend, and the football team came back to win. And my younger son is a senior at Sandpoint High School, involved in National Honor Society, and he's the ASB president. And we'll see where he goes next year.
Yeah, hey, a couple of high-achieving kids. That's great. Well, why are you running for city council again?
Why am I running for city council again? Well, I sat down with my family and discussed how they felt about it, and they kind of gave me the thumbs up. Having a child off to school makes running your household a lot simpler with only one child at home. You know who's responsible for all the messes. I also had many citizens in Sandpoint come to me and ask me to run again. And just after sitting down to think about it, I think that I also have a significant amount of institutional knowledge, even more so than some of the employees we have at the city now. And I've had some other council members mention that to me, that they appreciate that I can bring historical context to discussions at times. And I just started to think, I don't really plan on moving away from Sandpoint anytime soon. I moved into my house with the thoughts that I would also perish in my house. So I figured, well, why not? I love this town, and there's so many giving people here. So just an opportunity to give back.
Great. So I'm asking all the candidates the same question, and you're an incumbent, so you have a different take on it, but how do you think the current council is doing? If you were to give the council, as well as the city administration and the mayor, a grade from A to F, what grade would the city get?
Well, I think those are different areas in general. If I encompass all of that, I guess I would say a B minus. I think that personally myself, you don't always get it right. I try to listen to as many people as I can. Open ears, I think, is the best way to address that. But there's some decisions over the years that I look back on, and as I gain more experience and understanding, I'm like, ooh, probably could have made a different choice on that. So in moving forward, you learn from those experiences and make better choices. I think that I'm looking forward to re-energizing some of our committees and having better contact with citizens. We've done a lot of surveys, we've done a lot of open meetings, we've done a lot of master planning. So there's lists and lists of how much outreach we've done, but I feel like there's still some sort of disconnect. And so I have some ideas about how we could re-energize committees and how we could integrate that out to be our first line of communication into the community to make sure we're not missing things.
And to help them engage more, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Among the myriad issues facing the city at present, what do you consider to be the three most important issues?
So I guess the three most important issues, probably the one that's least talked about would be the sewage treatment plant. So that's not the most exciting thing to talk about, but I was on the original, what I would like to call the sewer tour, where we got on a bus and we went to Coeur d'Alene and we went to Spokane Valley and we went to Post Falls and we got that ball rolling. We've done rate studies and you've noticed that there's been changes in your rates. It's gonna be expensive no matter what, but we're on a timeline with the EPA and such. And I feel it's really, really important behind the scenes to make sure that we continue to stay on that timeline, because we could see a precipitous decline in the value of our homes, the value of our businesses, and in the value of our community if we can't maintain a sewage treatment plant. So I think that that's one of the most important things on the top of my list. Did you ask for three?
Three.
Okay. So then the second thing.
You could even shoot for four if you want.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, no. So the second one would be the multimodal transportation plan. I feel like it has some deficiencies that the community is frustrated with. And I feel like there needs to be some amendments made so it aligns more with the citizens' desires. I believe there are some great things in the multimodal plan, and that's why I originally had a positive vote for it. But if you go back and you're interested in listening or watching the YouTube videos, you'll see that I had a lot of concerns then, especially with the section from Highway 2 and Boyer, then to get it all the way out through Larch, and then also to include Superior and First Avenue. So I think there's a lot of reworking that needs to be done in that area to align with the residents. I also feel like we have some cut-through streets, and the whole idea behind a grid pattern is that you do disperse the traffic, but when you disperse it onto more residential areas, you need to put in traffic calming measures. And so I think we need to address that, and we can address that with far less money than doing other fancier things. And then I think if we come together and get some engineering around that premise, that we'll end up with a better product in the long run. So yeah, multimodal is big for me. And the whole piece of bikes. As a society, we design for cars, and it's very, very hard to get people and engineers to move away from that. Mm-hmm. And
So you mentioned the Boyer Highway 2 intersection, which is basically right before Dubs.
That is the intersection.
Yeah,
at Dubs.
Yeah. Do you have a different idea about how that should be engineered than what the plan's calling for?
Well, I'm not an engineer, but I had a lot of questions, and I sat with the engineers for a long time. And although it is their profession, I feel like sometimes when people are not local and they don't live here, that they can't visualize some of the other things that you can see. One hand, I have a lot of faith in engineering, and then the other hand, I don't, because we have engineered just west of our town the lovely Dover Bridge. And even the federal government has changed the regulations on don't build so wide. We build smaller for traffic calming. And so I think that just needs to be re-looked at. I do think there are other ways around what is sitting there. I've never liked the design at that intersection, which is one of the reasons when the option to own more property at that intersection came forward, I was like, if we can come up with something better, because we now do own that small piece of property,
where Dub sits, actually,
where Dub's actually come sits, into city ownership, then yeah. I think that that is so much more positive mm-hmm. than some of the other things that have been put out there. Mm-hmm. So, and then third, if you don't have any other questions to go with that, would be our downtown waterfront design, which was just in the paper this weekend. And I strongly believe that we need to make sure all the code changes follow within that to more align with the character of downtown and areas. We need to make decisions about maybe where we want buildings to go a little bit taller. Maybe that's over by the newer bank building that sits on Fifth Avenue. And maybe building heights, as I know historically, there was a lot of people who wanted to keep that just two stories downtown. So again, I really want to make sure that all those pieces are put into code as we come up with this design. It's nice to have beautiful watercolors, but what's the functionality of that? And it's a working document right now. It's a beautiful picture in some ways, and in other ways it's a bit over the top. But I think that the focus on nature is what Sandpoint is really, really after. Keep it like Sandpoint is. And if we could only put the rope swing tree back in there somehow, wouldn't that be lovely?
We both remember the rope swing tree.
We do.
I swing off that thing a few times myself. And my son did back in the day. Well, on the waterfront master plan, so we're talking on Monday, and it's tomorrow that the city is going to be seeing kind of the final revision on that, I believe.
Well, I don't know if it's the final revision, but it is another revision, and I you know, it will come again in front of, this is an opportunity for the public to see that. I don't actually have the time. I think it's maybe from noon to 2.
Actually, I think it's from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m.
You're correct. Yeah. 11 to 1:30.
Except this will air after that, so folks won't have a chance to go do it, although I imagine these documents will be on the website.
It was in the paper this weekend, yeah. I think, for yeah. that. So, and check the city website for any of those documents, mm-hmm. since this will air after that. Mm-hmm.
Sandpoint Online posted a Facebook post on the initial plan when it came out, and it was remarkable. It ended up going viral. Over 50,000 people. It reached over 50,000 people, which is, you know, that's many times more than actually live in the city. And a lot of people were skeptical, it seemed, even of the process. So what did you think about the process for coming up with the master plan design that we've seen so far, at least?
Well, I guess I would say after going through a lot of master plan processes, the recreation master plan for me was a little bit frustrating. I think we came out with a decent product, but when you only employ one company, it's really what are their values and everything else. Yes, they talk to the city and they ask the city and they come here a few times, but that's not living in our city and it's not living in our town. And so I've kind of been frustrated with some of that, as I was a little bit with the multimodal transportation plan. So when this was brought forward more as a contest, I thought, okay, we're going to get three different visions of what people think. And to be 100% honest, I was kind of horrified when it came out in the paper, and I was like, oh my goodness. But the best part about that is we got to choose the best, and it was just the first part of it. It wasn't like a finished product. Mm-hmm. Here you go. This is what you
initial
paid
concept,
for.
Yeah.
Doesn't mm-hmm. matter if you like it or not. We took some comments for your public. Mm-hmm. So it's this wonderful moldable piece still. So I'm really hoping that a lot of people will get involved in that, because it's going to take care of those building code issues. It's going to, you know, take care of worrying about our waterfront. Like, this wants to make it more native and change all those things. So if there's pieces and parts that don't feel like Sandpoint to you, you know, get in the thick of it and have your voice heard. There's definitely pieces and parts. I don't think it's a finished product by mm-hmm. any means, but I do think when you look at all three of them, it's in a lovely starting place.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we got time for just probably a couple more questions. So the city has just completed an update on its comprehensive plan that's been several years in the process. And it came up for before the council last week, I think, but it's been tabled for a public workshop. What is your take on the comp plan? Do you like the way it has been drafted up to this point, at least?
Well, the comp plan's been in process for 4 years. COVID really slowed it down. It's sort of our values and our vision for the future. And there are a lot of amazing, great things in the comp plan. We've had some people who work within urban forestry and are foresters and arborists really step forward. Amy's been really good about incorporating a lot of public comments she's got from the first reading that I did.
The city planner.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. The first reading that I did, I can see everything that she's added. And I think we decided to table it because we want the public to have even a greater opportunity. We wanted to workshop some of the things that we were questioning. We wanted to clarify some of the things with areas of city impact and other towns' areas of city impact. And we wanted it to just feel very transparent to the public. And since it's been a work in progress for 4 years, there's no reason not to kind of really refine some of these pieces. And it's not code, so the code's different, but this kind of directs us how to improve our code and make changes.
We have 60 seconds for one more question. affordable housing, it's been a big issue for the city. Do you, and the city's considered or is weighing the idea of creating a housing authority. What's your take on that?
So I do believe that we need to make the housing authority a reality. The not at this last council meeting, but the council meeting before that came forward. There's some legal language written down. It's still a work in process that I think we need to make some stronger partnerships and build upon that. The mayor started on this project, I believe, a year or two ago. And I don't feel like we've moved forward where we need to go. I know that Kinnick-Sue Land Trust has been working very hard and is making some ground with that. So that's one of the things that, since I'm done with the watershed, I'd really like to focus my energy on making sure that all moves forward in a goal-oriented way.
Deb Ruhl, we are out of time, but how can the public find out more about you or contact you?
So Deb Ruhl for Sandpoint City Council on Facebook, or you can email me at druhle, spelled R-U-E-H-L-E, at sandpointidaho.gov. And I always respond to all of my emails. We can set up a time to meet or a phone call or anything from that way.
Okay. Deb Ruhl, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you.